Welcome back to another episode of Fine Wine and Evil Spirits,
the husband and wife podcast where we bicker about the unearthly while sipping on booze.
Gulp, gulp.
Did you see that I changed it from discuss to bicker?
How clever of you.
Yeah, I felt like the first episode was all nice and stuff because it was our first episode. But the last two, we definitely sounded like a married couple. So today I am drinking White Claw Hard Seltzer, black cherry flavor.
And I'm drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon.
The original. Go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, so I'm not too big in the beer, and this actually is pretty good. I would definitely buy this again. It's amazing.
I've had seltzers that I like more, to be honest. I don't know what it is, but it kind of has a little taste to it. So we were looking for something related to Texas because that's what we're doing tonight, and I basically gave up. So let's dive right into this. Again, we're
hold your nose. It comes to cold water.
Cold water. You are
God, that cold water.
You are cold water on me. So
here's
our first
a tail.
It's towel, not tail.
Don't judge me, okay?
It's towel.
I hear you.
No, you don't. You need all the vowels in there. You don't understand. So our first story is La Lechuza, and I don't know if I'm saying that right, but I think I am, because I did Google it, and that's what they told me to pronounce it as.
Google told you that?
Google did. I Googled it.
It's a reliable source. So.
Yeah. So La Lechuza is well known in South Texas as a witch who takes the form of an owl.
Ooh, ooh. I wonder what type of owl she is.
I don't know.
Because there's like over like 200 different types of owls. And yeah, it's pretty amazing. They're so cute too, like, well, especially baby owls, baby outlets.
They're not outlets, they're owlets, like piglets, but owls.
Yeah, I know, but I like outlets better.
I think you just like saying that.
Yeah.
You cannot plug baby owls into a wall, it is not safe. No. I don't even think you can own an owl.
Yeah, apparently you can. It's like a native animal, and you're not allowed to own one.
Well, Harry Potter broke all the rules then.
Well, that's actually one of the rare owls he had. He had like a snow owl, right?
Yeah, I think so. Hedwig. I remember the name. I don't know the type of owl.
I think the most common owl is like a
barn
owl. Oh, high five it!
Oh, barn owls.
Yeah.
One of the origin stories for La Lechuza was that she was a mother who lost her children to a drunk driver. She then made a deal with the devil to become a witch who could transform from a human to an owl to take vengeance on drunk drivers at night. Good thing we're not out at night right now in South Texas.
Right.
She's not always an owl. During the day, she has a human form. I wonder if she has a job, like when she has her human form.
I also wonder, would it be considered like a shapeshifter?
Yes. Yes. So let me get to that part. And then at night she becomes an owl with an old woman's face, which has to be, if she's going after drunk people and they see this owl body with an old woman face, like that alone is.
Do you just freeze and stare and just go, okay, you're probably going to eat me.
Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. So another story is that she sold her soul to the devil in order to gain powers and abilities such as shapeshifting. See? And she's intent on stealing children to use in satanic rituals.
Right.
I guess she has to continuously pay the devil for these powers, so she like continuously has to find children. But in all the stories that I've read, no children were involved, so I don't know how true that story is. Others say that Lechuza is the spirit of an innocent woman, wrongly executed and thirsty for revenge on humanity, targeting people who have sinned and taking them back to her lair to devour them and pick their bones clean. Gasp. Lechuza strikes in various ways. She finds a victim and will stalk them outside of their home, mimicking the sound of a baby crying. Because wouldn't you run outside if you heard a baby crying?
That's the baby on the corner trick. Dave Chappelle.
I
know the deal on that.
I literally just saved two baby birds and drove like 40 minutes out of my way there and back.
You're like a rescue ranger, you know?
I do what I can.
Rescue Rangers. No,
is well, Weston.
I don't even know if that's the melody for that.
Weston started crying, so I had to. And I had to show him that all lives are important, even little baby birds that are stupid and fall out of the ceiling.
Well, it wasn't really their fault, I mean.
It's their parents' fault for putting the nest in the terrible spot.
Blame it on the parents.
It's not even like they were trying to fly. They literally probably just fell out of the
I think owls are like my new favorite animal.
All right, we gotta get you away from the owls because we can't get an
owl.
One
thing it does kind of skeeve me out a little bit is how they eat. Like they kind of swallow it whole and then they like regurgitate like the bones and like the fur and stuff. Ew. Wherever they couldn't process.
Like a hairball like a cat does.
Like a cat hairball.
But yeah. In a...
In like a, I don't know, like a...
Pellet,
yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
You're like so psychic today. Like,
I know, I'm good at that. Yeah, so when the victims come outside to investigate, Lechuza swoops down and carries them away. Or she will scratch on the doors and windows. That's my sound of scratching.
Yeah. They're pretty strong. They can pick up like anywhere from like 6 to 60 pounds.
But we're talking about a supernatural being. So you think about how much a supernatural being
So probably
pick
even
up.
More, like 100, 150.
Well, yeah, right? If it's going after people.
Right.
So the people come out of their homes in the morning and find deep scratches on their windows and doors. So owls are pretty much the gangsters of the woods.
Yeah, I agree.
They are...
But yet so cute.
This owl witch woman has the strength to carry a grown man with her talons and runs cars off of the road.
Yeah.
A lot of people have claimed to see La Lechuza. She goes after drunk people, as mentioned before, which makes me wonder if, like, the people that do have these eyewitness accounts, if it's just their mind making it up because they're already, like, drunk.
Right. Like us.
And there's... Yeah, but we're not outside. We're not driving either. Yeah. In South Texas. So I think we're safe. Can you imagine, though, like, leaving a bar and then after a good time with family and friends, you're being stalked by a 5 to 7 foot-sized owl with...
Imagine, like, a group of them, you know? Just, like...
A flock.
A flock of them.
A parliament.
Oh! A group of owls. Look at you!
I know.
That and 1,000.
Now I'm forgetting because there's a name for a group of geese, too. And now it's gonna bother me.
They're called the Geese Squad.
No, they have, like, a legit... Name. But now I can't think of it. But can you imagine, like, being stalked by a 5 to 7 foot owl with inhuman strength and a human face?
Yeah.
How much would that throw you off? I would think that...
I wouldn't know what to do. I'd kind of be sitting there like, wow, do I run? Do I not run? It probably can just swoop me. Like, you know?
I would think that somebody, like put a roofie in my drink or something.
I would think that was like a prank, too. You know?
Yeah. Like... I have to show you these videos, but they have these pranks where people dress up as, like, nuns and stuff, and then they just come out of nowhere and freak people out. It's really creepy. Yeah.
Kind of like the clown in the It movie. He was holding the balloon or something like
yeah,
that.
And then it pops.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's terrifying. Okay, so there's, I picked out an actual account of somebody saying that they saw Lechuza. So she said, one night in San Antonio, Texas, she didn't say this, but this is a story. One night in San Antonio, Texas, three women were driving back home from the marketplace. As they merged onto Highway 191, they saw a large owl swoop in towards the side of the car. They tried to keep their distance, but it chased them upwards of 70 miles per hour.
What?
At this point, the car suddenly died, but they managed to pull over to the side of the road before it stopped completely. The owl was nowhere to be seen. After a few tries, they got the car started again. Once the headlights came on, they illuminated a large human-sized owl sitting on a telephone pole. It watched them intensely. Frightened, they quickly drove away. After arriving home, the driver told her husband about the incident, describing the owl as being approximately 7 feet tall with a wingspan of 15 feet tall. It must have been a lechuza, he said. That's all he said. Like, it's just a matter of fact. Like, and I bet he went to, like, go watch TV afterwards. Like, oh, it just must have been a lechuza.
Let's see what game's on.
Yeah, right? What baseball game is on now? So the question is, how does one get rid of a lechuza?
I don't know. A spell?
A spell. She's inhuman, she's immortal, and bullets cannot wound her. So, the go-to is salt that's free of impurities like iodine.
Where do I find that kind of salt at?
Like, I don't know, pink salt? Like, we get in the supermarket? I think that's free of iodine.
Let's try it out.
let's just put us in a circle of salt. But what does that remind you of? What else does salt get rid of?
A supernatural episode, you know, like the demons.
Yep.
You want me a Pepsi?
No.
We said at the same time.
No, we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
No, we didn't. Not the whole thing, not the same exact thing.
You think it was a slight delay?
No, but I don't know, maybe.
Like yield signs?
Yield. I made a song about the yield sign before.
Yeah,
I'm sure. I made a song about all street signs before. It's a true story. Ask Mallory. Oh, also note to self.
Right.
If we ever go to Texas, we have to bring the salt.
Everything is bigger in Texas.
Including the owls.
That's why this one's like 7 foot.
Yeah, so she says. All right, so story number two is El Muerto. Everyone knows.
That was really good.
Thank you. I've been practicing that. you would think that being Puerto Rican for 32 years would make me be able to pronounce things correctly, but, you know, and no.
You're doing great. Very good.
So everyone knows, or at least has heard the tale of the Headless Horseman. But not everyone knows about El Muerto, otherwise known as the Dead One. If that doesn't sound ominous, I don't know what does, honestly.
Yeah.
So I'm going to bring you back to the 1850s.
Bring it back.
There was a gentleman named Creed Taylor. He was known as a hero, and he participated in multiple battles, including the Alamo. And then there was Bigfoot Wallace, also known as William Alexander Anderson Wallace. That is a big name. And if you look at it, it's W-A-A-W. So, like, backwards, it's W-A-A-W.
W-A-A-W?
Yeah. I thought Weston had a crazy name. William Alexander Allison Anderson Wallace.
No, W-A-A-W?
W-A-A-W. All right, enough
of that. I was throwing you for a loop or whatever.
He came to Texas to avenge the death of his brother and cousin who had fallen during the Battle of... I don't even know how to say it. Galian? Galian? I don't know.
Yeah.
We're going to have to look that up. He found himself in a Mexican prison where they chose white and black beans to determine whether or not they could get out of jail. He chose a gray one, which was in between both black and gray, and he was set free.
Hold on, what color bean did he get again?
He got a gray one.
He had a gray one. That's like neither of the options that they usually
get. That's what I'm saying. So I guess he was just like, oh, look at you, you're cool.
Like Jack and the Beanstalk beans type stuff, but he just got a gray one.
It's beanstalk, not stock.
Don't judge me.
I have to judge you.
Don't blame it on me, blame it on the Paps. Paps. My pappies.
Oh my goodness. Eventually, both of these men became Texas Ranger. Right. So, during this time, it was the 1850s, the West was still a wild frontier and regularly attacked by Mexican and Comanche raiders. I don't know if I said Comanche right, and I apologize if I said it wrong.
It sounds like you said it right.
Okay. So a Mexican bandit named Vidal and his group came to Texas.
Or Vidal.
I think it's Vidal because it's V-I-D-L-D-A-L. Vidal.
Vidal.
And his group came to Texas stirring up trouble. But they came to the wrong town. Because after stealing some of Taylor's prized Mustangs, Taylor and Bigfoot Wallace joined forces to track the vandals and get the horses back.
Right.
It wasn't long before the Rangers found Vidal, but it was enough that they captured him. And they needed to make an example of him for future thieves. Creed and Wallace decapitated him, then fixed his sombrero to his severed head, tying it so that way it wouldn't fall from the saddle. And the rest of Vidal's body was left on the horse, I guess like standing upright, which would be like the Headless Horseman type visual. And it didn't take long for the tales of the Headless Horseman to circulate through southern Texas.
That's not a fair exchange.
I don't know.
He did a crime, but cutting his head off?
They were prized Mustangs.
Yeah, over some horses? Like,
I don't know. Can you imagine growing up during that time, though? Just like all this war and just...
Yeah, it's all it was.
Like, you never feeling safe.
Ever.
Ever.
Nope.
Vidal's skeleton remains were found by a group of ranchers in Alice, Texas, which is in Jim Wells County, and they buried what was left. It was too easy to believe that Vidal was buried, his soul could rest, but that wasn't the case, obviously.
Right.
Because there have been sightings of a headless rider since 1917 when a couple in San Diego, Texas were camping next to their wagon and claimed to have seen a headless horseman on a gray horse. Another sighting was reported in 1969, and to this day people claim to see him riding all throughout South Texas.
That's interesting.
Can you imagine seeing like somebody riding around on a horse without a head? It makes me want to watch
I don't know.
The Legend of Sleepy Hollow with Ichabod Crane.
Ichabod Crane.
I don't remember what happened in that movie at all. It's bad because I haven't seen it in so long.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I think we started to watch it one time, but we were a little plastered.
Everybody in the club getting tips.
We're not in the club, but
everybody in the house getting tips.
All right, so our third and final story, which we decided to add on because I saw this really cool, interesting story, is a candy lady from Terrell, Texas. When I say candy lady, what do you automatically think of?
The candy man.
Yes. Okay. I also thought the same. And I believe that they're remaking the movie or they're making it into a TV show.
Right. But I think of the Candyman, I think of like 1992, the bees, like, the bees. Yeah, I don't know how, like, he did that, like, you know, with all the stings and stuff, like,
so. I wonder, how many times did he get stung?
I believe it was like 23 times he got stung, and he got like $1,000 for each sting.
Dang, so 23,000? I'll get stung for a bee.
Yeah, so, I mean, and it's amazing, like, how he was able to actually act and be stung at the same time. And be
in pain. Because that, especially like, 23 stings.
Right, and good acting, too, you know, it's like...
He's creepy.
He's good at, yeah,
being creepy. He was also the mortician in Final Destination.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was good. And he was very creepy in that. Like, I remember watching the movie and being fine, but, like, he always creeped me out. I don't know.
Yeah.
Love
his movies.
Yeah, he's good. But okay, so back to that. I think that they're revising the role for the Candyman, and I think that they might be doing a gender swap.
So it's gonna be
a girl. I think. I don't know. I have to.
Yeah, because the Candyman was like pretty much it was like a I think it was like a was it a servant or a slave that was murdered or something.
I think.
And then,
he was in love with somebody, wasn't he? A girl. We have to watch that movie again.
I can't remember, but he pretty much, like, if you say his name 5 times in the mirror, he's supposed
like
to...
Like Bloody Mary.
He's supposed to appear, and he haunts you.
Why would you say somebody's name like that if they're going to haunt you? Why do people do stuff like that?
Because they don't think it's true, and then what happens is you do it, and you're like, how do I undo it?
So when I was
and
in
you can't undo it. Yeah.
When I was in elementary school, there was this one bathroom that was super creepy. There was literally like the tiniest red dot on the mirror, but they said it was from Bloody Mary.
Right.
And they tried to get me to say it, and I would like I ran out of the bathroom because I was terrified. And I think ever since then, now that I'm thinking about it, I've been afraid of public bathrooms. I couldn't understand why I was afraid of public bathrooms, and I think that's why. Look at that. We're having therapy on the podcast now.
Booze it up.
Therapy. Okay, so anyway, the legend of the Candy Lady began in the early 1900s when a missing child was found. He was not found alive. His eyes were gouged out from a fork, and he had pockets full of sweets. What the town didn't know was that the children had been finding candy on their windowsill at night with wrappers that held messages with the attempts to lure the children, and they were always signed the Candy Lady. And then the children would vanish, suspected to be taken by the Candy Lady.
I wonder, like, what type of candy was she actually putting out there for a kid to be like, oh yeah, this looks good.
Like,
any candy back then would be good.
Licorice. I feel like licorice, saltwater sweets, chocolate.
But back then?
Yeah, chocolate and caramel.
In like 1890s?
Fudge. Would fudge be considered a candy?
It would be considered a sweet. Like, yeah, because back then, yeah, it would be considered like a candy, right?
And then she took the time to write in it. Like, that's kind of weird to me. Anyway. Well, yeah. So, why didn't the kids say anything?
Well, because you don't want mom and dad to find out, and then you take the candy away.
That's exactly right. So, the children didn't say anything because they were afraid that the candy would stop coming, basically. But as more and more children were being taken from their homes, those who were still receiving the candy made the connection, and they started to speak up. The question now was, who was the Candy Lady? There was a woman named Claire Crane that was accused of being the Candy Lady. She was born in 1871 and later married an older man by the name of Leonard Gilbert Crane, whom she had a baby named Marcella with. When Marcella was only 5 years old, she was killed in a farming accident, and her father had been there the whole time. Because he was there, Clara blamed him for the death of their daughter, it's hard because, like, I don't want to be like, oh yeah, I would totally blame you, but I think I would totally blame you.
You would blame me.
I would totally blame you.
You did it.
And I think that,
yep.
I think that you wouldn't blame me, or at least you wouldn't say that you would blame me, because, I don't know, that's just the type of person you are. You'll blame me for, you know, you bumping your head or something, but not for, like, a major incident.
You're so sweet to me.
Not sweet to you. I would totally blame you. I would totally think that was your fault. But she was later, I think it was 2 years later, she was tried and convicted for murdering Leonard by poisoning him with caramel, and she was sent to the North Texas Lunatic Asylum instead of prison, because they believed that she was suffering from mania. Because, of course, anybody that had any kind of issues were thrown into, like, an insane asylum.
You did.
Anxiety. Like, yeah. Something as simple as anxiety. You would be sent over. Like, hey.
Yep.
You're crazy.
You got problems.
So, when she was in the asylum, this is starting to make more sense as to why she's in there. She made a doll out of bed sheets, which she later named after her daughter, calling it Marcy. She would sing and talk to the doll and even write letters to her sister saying that she and Marcy were excited to come home. That's a little wacky.
Yeah, but then again, she's suffering. She needs somebody to actually talk to.
I mean, like, she definitely
locked in a dark corner or, you know, in a room. Saying, yeah, you're crazy. Well, she is kind of crazy. But, I mean, she needs therapy. She needs somebody to talk to.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if during that time they were doing, like, I don't know, experimental treatments and stuff that maybe messed her up even more.
They probably were back then because they didn't really know much. I mean, they knew, but they didn't really know about maybe that type of stuff.
But can you imagine how her sister felt getting those messages? Like, she knows that her niece is dead. She knows that her sister has killed somebody.
She's probably worried, you would think, you know.
I wonder if she went to visit her. Clara only spent 4 years in the asylum because it was overcrowded, you know, because they sent literally everybody there. And I'm not sure why they thought that she was stable enough to leave, because clearly she needed some help. She killed her husband and made a doll out of bedsheets to replace her daughter. It doesn't sound like a good mental state to me, but maybe that's just me. And nobody knows where she went afterwards. Like, she just vanished.
Right.
All they know is that when she got out, children started going missing from their homes.
So, hold on a second. So, she vanished, right? And they never found her.
Yeah, because they never followed up. Like, it wasn't like it is now where they follow up with you or keep track of you or anything. They just let her out. Like, oh, here you go out into the world. And
kids started mysteriously disappearing. Vanishing. And then it was just like...
The candy on the windowsill.
Candy on the windowsill. Here's your licorice. Like, you know, like...
Exactly.
Licorice, so, little love note.
Or your poisoned caramel. Right. For over 10 years, there were reports of children going missing. There was even a member of the law enforcement said to have been found in a ditch with his eyes stabbed with a fork and pockets stuffed with candy. Further reports include that a farmer found rotted children's teeth wrapped in candy wrappers in a field.
Damn.
I don't know. I feel like she was so far gone. Why would she do that?
Like, that's something that sounds like it's more premeditated.
Like planned.
That's like a lot of planned stuff. Like,
and I don't think she had the mental capacity. Like, if she was doing that stuff while she was in the mental institution, I don't think she had the mental capacity to do that. I think that she was just an easy scapegoat.
Right.
Like, people are looking for an answer. People are looking for somebody to blame. And it just so happened that she got out, and she was easy to blame.
Yeah, well, she named her blanket after her daughter.
Exactly.
You know? It's one thing where it's like...
But overall, there was nothing to prove or disprove the story, or that the candy lady was actually true. So we don't even know if the entire story is true. I'm sure that she was an actual person, because they actually had a picture of her. But the story in general, I think it's maybe kind of like an urban legend where don't take candy from strangers type of deal.
Right.
However, to this day, if a child goes missing, there are still whispers about the candy lady.
Dun, 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 dun.
So, that is the bottom of the bottle. We hope that you enjoyed the episode. Please make sure to like us on Facebook and leave a review. Also, follow us on Twitter at FWES Podcast and Instagram at Fine Wine and Evil Spirits. I just so happened to put up our website, and it is running. There's not much up on it yet. I'm super proud of it still. It's a work in progress, but if you want to check it out, check out any sources or learn more about the stories, see some pictures, go to finewineandevilspirits.com. Also, another reminder that Podcoin pays you to listen to podcasts. Take advantage and use our code EVILSPIRITS, all one word, to get 300 points when you sign up. If you have any stories that relate to anything that we've talked about so far, send us a message, and with your permission, we'll feature your story on an upcoming episode. Thank you, thank you so much for listening, and we hope that you'll be back next week. Don't forget, 5 stars or...
We'll haunt you.